The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Toldos. In this Parsha we have the birth. Yitzchok and Rivka give birth to Yaakov and Eshov. The Torah tells us how they grow up. And then we have the very well-known episode and the very important episode where Yitzchok is getting old and he wants to give over the brachos, the blessings, which Abraham Avinu had given to Yitzchok. He wants to give it over to his bechor, his firstborn, which was Esav. And Rivka comes and she tells Yaakov that he must get the brachos. He must disguise himself as Esav and go in and take the brachos instead. Now, states near the beginning of the Sedra, Vayav Yitzchok es Esav kitzayid befib, v'rivka ehevas es Yaakov. Yitzchok loved Esav kitzayid befib because he used to bring his hunt. Yitzchok was a man of the field. He was a man of the field. He used to bring his hunt to Yitzchok. Rashi brings Kitargumai Bifiv Shal Yitzchok. This means, as it seems, that what he would catch, he would bring to his father Yitzchok. And this is what the Targum brings, Ari Mitzidei Hava Ochil. Yitzchok would eat from what Esav would catch. Now, what does this mean? Here we're speaking of Yitzchok, who was one of the three Amude Olam, one of the three pillars of the world, Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And he had a love for Yitzchok, for Esav, because he used to bring to him what he would catch. And this has certainly a bearing on why he chose him. But also, what was very important, he was the firstborn. But how do we understand this? So it means that there was a tremendous attachment between Yitzchok and Esav. Esav would go out of his way to great extremes to make his father happy and to satisfy his father. The Medrash brings in Samach Gimel Ostes Vov and this pasuk Kufra Tava Lepume Mikaso Tava Lepume. The best of the meat that Esav could get, he would bring to his father. The best of the wine, he would come and bring to his father. And this is a sign to show the attachment that Esav had to Yitzchok and how much he would serve him. In return for that, the attachment that Yitzchok developed for Esav. We see this further a little later on, that where Rivka told Yaakov, go and disguise yourself as Esav. Go and disguise yourself as Esav. And go in and take the brachos. Yaakov answered Rivka. This is in Perek Chof Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayemer Yaakov el Rivka, imay hein Esav ochi ish soyer, vanaychi ish cholok. Esav is a person who is full of hair, and I am a person who is very smooth. What happens if my father will feel me, and then he'll realize that I'm a fraud? And then he will bring upon me, I will bring upon myself a curse and not a brocha. So the mother said, listen to me, don't worry about that. Vatikach Rivka is big de Esav beno hagodl hachamudis asherita babois. She went and she took the clothing of Esav, which was by her in the house. Vatalbeish es Yaakov beno hakotam. And she dressed up Esav in the, excuse me, she dressed up Yaakov in these clothes, in this clothing. And through this he would appear to be Esav. And then also he'll be shal yodov, al-chelka savorov, and then on his arms and on his neck. She put skins of the goats to disguise him. Now it states that she took the clothing of Esav and she dressed Yaakov in this clothing. The Chazal, the sages, asked the question. It states, Asher ito babayis, which she kept in the house, which was with her in the house. What was Esav's clothing doing in the house of Rivka and Yitzchok? Somebody is not married and he still lives at home, so he leaves his clothing there. But Esav had many wives. This means he had a home or many homes. So that's where his clothing should have been. What were they doing here? And also it states a chamudais. Chamudais means the very, very precious clothing. What were these precious clothing? Rashi brings that this was the clothing which Esav had taken from Nimrod. Nimrod was from the ancient ancestors of Noach. He was still living. He was a giant, a very powerful person. He was a king. The Midrash speaks about a duel between Esav and Nimrod. Esav won. And he took this clothing from Nimrod. Nimrod had taken this clothing from Odom Arishon. This was the Kosnesh Or, the clothing of fur, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, made for Odom and Chava, for the first man and woman. And because this was so very precious, this clothing, you can imagine what it was, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself for the first man and woman. So therefore Esav didn't trust this clothing anywhere, even by his own wives. So he kept this clothing by his mother. That's one drosha. That's one opinion in the Medrash. But there's another opinion in the Medrash that says differently. And that the Medrash brings on this, also on this posuk, Samachay posuk yud beis. Shebohen hoye meshamesh es oviv. Actually, we have here what's called Medrash Amavur. Say a set of Sforim, and he brings out, it's actually written by a group, and they bring out, but rightly so, that these two medrashes differ one from the other. Asher Shimesh es Oviv. It's not that he did not trust these precious clothes with his other wives. But he kept them here in the house of Rivka and Yitzchok because he never used them for any other purpose except to serve Yitzchok, his father. Never wore this clothing. Not going to wear the clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava. He had other clothes. But when he used to serve his father, he would put on his clothing. So therefore he kept them in the house of Rivka and Yitzchok. And the Medrash says, Shebehen hoye meshamesh es aviv. Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Kol yomai hoyisim meshamesh es abo. V'leshimashti yosei echod mimeya. Shishimesh esav es aviv. All my life I served my father. This was the great Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. But I never served him 1/100 compared to the way Esav served his father. When I used to serve my father, I used to serve him in regular street clothing. I used to serve him in worse than street clothing. I used to serve him in house clothing, what I wore in the house. There's another Loshen HaMedrash that what I used to prepare the food with. This is the clothing I used to serve him. When I would go out to the market, when I would go out to see people, I would change the clothing and put on very nice clothing. But Esav, just the opposite. When he went to take care of his affairs, he had one set of clothing. When he came to serve his father, he served him in royal garments. Which royal garments? The royal garments which Hashem had made for Adam and Chava. Omar, Ein kfeidi shel abel yis mishamshe ela bebigdei malchus. Hadohu deksiv asher ito babais. He said, it is not proper and it is not within the honor of my father to serve him except in royal garments. And that's why it states that these clothing were ita babais, were always by Rivka and Yitzchok, because this is the only place he would ever wear them. This medrash is brought also in Sefer Dvorim. In Dvorim, Parsha Aleph, Osh Yudalid. And there it says a little differently. Reb Shimon Gamliel said on himself, Lekibat Beria, Lekibat Beria es avesav kimei ani es avesai. He says, there was no living creature that ever served his father the way I served my father. This is what Reb Shimon Gamliel said on himself. Umotzosi shekibat Esav la'aviv yesim imeni. But still Esav gave greater honor to his father than I gave to my father. Then he goes through this, he says, I used to serve my father in regular house clothing, and then when I would go out, I would set them aside and I would put on beautiful clothing. But Esav was just the opposite. And he goes through this story. Now, we can ask a question. We see that Esav went to great extents to give honor to his father. Tzayid v'fiv. The best catch, the best meat he would bring for his father, the best wine he would bring for his father. That itself is not a question, but we see to what extent that Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying 100 times more than I honored my father was Esav. Nobody ever honored a father more than I did. Except Esav. So we see to what extent. And when he would serve his father, it would be with royal garments. These royal garments, the Bigdei Chamudas. Where does Esav come to such chassidus, to such saintliness, that this is how he's serving his father, and this no doubt is created the attachment between Yitzchok and Esav, as the Torah tells us. It says Yitzchok Eivash Esav. Yitzchok loved Esav. Why? Kitzayid b'fi, for this reason. Further, there's another question in this vein. The Gemara brings a Masechta Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Seif Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the mitzvah of Kibur Av V'Em, honoring one's father and mother. Boy, mi name Rav Ula. They asked Rav Ula, Ad Heichen Kibur Av V'Em, how far is one obligated to go to serve his father and mother? Omer lehem, he says, I'll tell you. Su'u uru ma'osa evi kechovim echot ba'ashkelon v'doma ben nisin ishmai. In Ashkelon, there was a Gentile that lived there. The Gemara later on says he was a Roman. Not only was he a Roman, he was a nobleman of the Romans. Yeshev etzel g'deile remi. He used to sit together with the nobility of Rome. And his name was Doma ben Nesino. Pamachas bikshu chachomim pakamache b'shishim rubuah sochor. V'hoya mafteach munach tachas marishesiv shaloviv v'leit siyaro. One time the chachomim needed something from him. They needed some merchandise that he dealt with. And they came to him, and they were willing to pay for this shishim rubuah sochor. 600,000 pieces, coins. It was a very great sum. But he couldn't get the merchandise because the key to the safe was under the pillows, or under the feet, where his was in the table where his father was sitting on a chair and had fallen asleep, and his feet was on this little table. And he wouldn't disturb his father for it. He lost the deal. Omer Rav Yudam Omer Shmuel Shol Es Rav Lezer Ad Heichen Kibur Av V'Em Omer Lehem. Mor brings another case that the Talmidim asked Shmuel. Now that Shmuel said that they asked Rav Lezer the same question, and he gave it the same answer but a different story on the same person. Bikshu Mimena Chachomim Avonim LeEfod B'Shishim Ribua Socher, that he had the, for the garment of the Kohen Gadol, they would use on the ephod, they would use precious jewels, and on the breastplate precious jewels. And some of these precious jewels that they needed, only he had. So they went and they offered him a fortune for it. Same story. He couldn't get to the safe because his father was sleeping, and he turned down the deal. L'shona acheres nosen akorish baruch uschore shel noil shenoldele poradume bedrei. The next year, akorish baruch rewarded this person, and in his herd was born a poraduma, a red cow. Now, we needed the red cow because they would use this red cow. And together, this would help to be matayher, bring tahara, purity, to Yisrael when they would come up for the Korban Pesach, for the sacrifice of the Pesach and other sacrifices. So we needed it. Niknas echam chachmi Yisrael etzlei. The sages came to him and offered to buy it. He said to them, he says, I know that I can ask you for all of the money in the world, and you'll have to give it to me because you need it. But he says, I only want the money that I lost on the other deals because I wasn't able to disturb my father. And they gave it to him. So now, Omer b'chanino. Now, a goy, a Gentile, is not obligated to keep Bavim. This is not one of his seven mitzvahs. So Rabbi Chanina said, Umam yishena mitzvah v'isekach. If someone who's not commanded on such a mitzvah, this is what he does. Mitzuba v'eisa al achas kama v'kama. Someone, a Yisrael, that is commanded, how much more so does he have to honor his parents? The Gemara tells another story on this person. Ki osad avdimi yomar, pam achas hoye lovus sirukin shel zahov, v'hoye yeshev ben gedei le'remei. There was one time the royalty of Rome were making a banquet and they invited this individual. He was a nobleman and he was dressed in a gown of gold trimmings, and he was sitting at the head up front with the nobility. His mother was old and his mother no longer was of good mind. She came and for some unknown reason she became very angry. She tore off his royal gown. She slapped him. She spit in front of him. And he wouldn't say anything. He didn't do anything to insult her. Medrash brings even further. She dropped her stick, her walking stick. So he went and he picked it up for her. Now, besides what we learn, that the Gemara says we can learn from this individual, we have a further question. He was a Roman. The Romans were the seed of Esau. Gemara tells us Esau was Edom. He founded the nation of Edom. Edom was Remi, the Roman Empire. So here we see the same thing, not only with Esau but with the seed, that they seem to be great Hasidim, righteous and saintly when it came to the honoring of their parents. What is the explanation of this? Further, we can ask another question, and we see more than Israel, because here he's saying, you want to learn how far, didn't take an example from Reb Shimon Gamliel or from one of the sages. He said, let's go look at this Roman that lived in Ashkelon. And here the Torah says about Esau, not about Yaakov. So we see even greater than Israel when it came to the Shmitzvah. And we can ask another question also, since we're discussing this. How is it for sure it was some schus to end up with the clothing of Adam HaRishon, of the first man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself? These Bigdei Chabudos, these precious royal garments, it takes some schus, some merit to end up with such clothing. How is it that Esav Arosha, Esav the arch enemy of Israel, the most wicked of all of the enemies, he ended up with these clothing? The Maral in a number of places discusses this, and he explains as follows. We have to understand who was Esav and who was Yaakov. The beginning of the Sedra, when Rivka was having problems during this pregnancy, and it states Vayisreitzatzu habonim bikirbo, there was great tumult, there was great turbulence going on, and she didn't know what was happening. And she went and she asked, and a prophecy came back and said, Shnei Gaim Vitnei. First of all, you have two. It's not one, there are two. There are two children in your womb. But Goyim Vitnei. They're not children, they're nations. So we see they were nations. Then it states, Gaim Kshiv. They were not, the Torah writes Goyim. It spells it incorrectly to let us know also from the word go'oh. They were great noble nations, not plain nations, but nations that were going to have great pride in themselves, great royalty. And the prophecy was Israel and Rome. Fact is, of the nations which will come on the face of the earth, there will be no equal to these two. Great kings will come out from them. Usnei le'umim. And not only nations, but le'umim they will be. Le'um is an empire. They will be the two mightiest empires on the face of the earth. But mimeayach yiparedu. But when they come out, they're going to go in opposite directions. Ula'ayim elayim yamotz, and one will draw its strength from the other. Lo yishvu b'gdulosum. They both will never rule at the same time. Kishazeh kom zeneifal. When one will rule, the other will be at the bottom. The other will be on the top, then this one will be at the bottom. Le'niv netzur ele michorbona shel Yishalayim. The capitals of Rome will be built up when Yerushalayim is in destruction. Yerushalayim will be built up when the capitals of Rome are in destruction. This was the prophecy. We see, firstly, that the two fetuses that she was carrying were to emerge as enormous individuals that would give birth to the two greatest empires of the world. Secondly, we see they could not make peace with each other. They're contrary to each other. And this was the Vayitzreitzitzu. This is what was going on in her womb. There was an enormous milchoma, a war between the two, because they were totally contrary to each other. Now, Rashi brings, the sages say, what was the war about? The war was about the inheritance of both worlds. Each one, now they weren't born yet, so this was more like their mazel, their nature. But each one was so great that he wanted the whole world. But not only did he want the whole world, each one wanted both worlds. This world and the next world. The physical world and the spiritual world. The Olam HaTachton and the Olam HaElyon, the lower world and the upper worlds. This was the erech, the strength, and the magnificence of each individual. So there was a great war going on there. Now, our sages tell us, Ein Adam Zeicher L'Shtei Shulchanos. No man can have both worlds. And why is that? Because both worlds are contrary to each other. One is a physical, and the other is a non-physical. To explain it better, the sages say, Olam hazeh deima leprozedar, ve'olam haba letrakli. This world is like a great antechamber before a great palace. And the next world is like the palace. Prepare yourself in the antechamber. What does someone do in the antechamber to the palace? This is where he prepares himself, because he's coming to see the king. He's coming to make appeals to the king. So this is where he must prepare himself in order to come into the palace. You cannot live in both worlds, because This world is a world which was made only to go through. You don't live in the antechamber. Right? You merely pass through it. You're a traveler. You're there only lishaoh, only temporarily. The next world is the objective, is the purpose, and that's the world to live in. So if a person is going to live in this world in a permanent fashion, this will be his diras kiva. And then he's camping in the antechamber. He's not going to live in the palace. If he's going to live in the palace, then this world is a diras aroi. He's a ger. He's merely a traveler, a stranger. So he can't have both worlds. One world is a world which you utilize temporarily in order to come to the other world, which will be your permanent residence. But both worlds, Eid Onam Zeichel Ishtei Shulchonis, says, man cannot have two tables, both worlds. And each of these individuals were so great, they wanted everything. And this was what the war was about. But eventually they saw that they both can't have everything. So there came a time to make a division. Now, Esav was closer to this world. We see this from a number of places. Firstly, we see he came to this world first. Even though the Chazal, the sages say that Yaakov was conceived first, but when it came to actually being born into this world, he was there first. He had a greater connection with this world than Yaakov. Secondly, we see when he was born, they couldn't get over his maturity. It says, Kula kadere seor. Nigmar, he came out not as a baby, but as someone already many years old. He was totally finished with his hair, his fingernails. And this is why they called him Esav, Osu. But he was totally complete. Also, we see when he grew up, we see the Sof was Megale Alat Chilose. What happened later on revealed what was before. Isode, he took to the fields. He used to love the fields, the hunt. This was his place. Yaakov, on the other hand, he was closer to the spiritual world, closer to the Olam HaElyon in the upper worlds. He was born last. States, eventually he became Yesheva Olim. He took to the tents. As I'll say, what does it mean, the tents? Oel Shel Shem Ve'Oel Shel Eber. He went to the Yeshiva of Shem and the Yeshiva of Eber. These were the two descendants of Noah that used to sit and teach Torah. And he was an Ishtam. He was a man who was upright, innocent, and a person of Torah. So they had different natures, totally. And eventually, each one chose where is going to be his world. We have to live in both worlds. We need both worlds. But what world will be his ikor, his main world, and what world will be merely the means to reach that world? And the actual biru hachalokim, the actual division came, where the Torah tells us, it states, Vayigdul Anorim, they grew up. One day, Vayosid Yaakov Nozit. Yaakov was preparing a porridge. It was a red porridge that was made from lentils. Vayoveh Esav min ha-sodeh v'hu ayef. And Esav came from the sodeh, from the field, and he was fatigued. Now, what was this porridge? And why was Esav so fatigued? And then Esav said, "Aliteni no min ha-odem ha-edem ha-zeh, ki ayef anochi. Give me from this red porridge." And Yaakov said, "Yes, I'll do it. But you're going to have to give me something in return. You're going to have to give me your firstborn birthright." He was the Bechor. And the Medrash says he asked. So first, what, where was he coming from? What was going on? Medrash tells us, he says that Esav came and he asked Yaakov, "Why are you making this?" Actually, we can ask another question. I mean, they were very wealthy, so they had servants. So what was Yaakov making this porridge for? So Esav asked him, "What are you making this porridge for? And why this strange porridge out of lentils?" Nativu shel nozitze. Omalei shemeis Esav zokeh. So Yaakov said to Esav, "Didn't you hear? Today, our grandfather died. Our grandfather, Abraham died. And since he died, so our father Yitzchok is sitting Shiva. And when someone sits Shiva, it's a mitzvah to bring him the first meal. And it's the custom that you bring him a meal made out of something round, lentils or eggs, to show," well, there's various reasons given. One reason is that everybody suffers this. It's round. It's a cycle that goes around. So that's why I'm making it. It's a mitzvah, so I'm doing it, and I'm going to bring it to our father. When Esav heard this, he was very upset. Now, this whole business didn't take place by coincidence on the day that Abraham died. Esav got very upset. And he said, "Ba'ase hazokein pogam midas adin." He said, Abraham, my grandfather, he was so righteous. He was such a good man. Why did he die? So Yaakov told him, he says, "Look, nobody lives forever. And don't feel so badly. True, it's a great loss. You don't have to feel bad for Abraham. Where he's going to a lot better place than where he's coming from. And you can imagine the reward he's going to have." This is what Yaakov told Esav. And Esav became very upset. He said, "Esav zokein pogam midas adin." He says, "How could God kill a man like that?" Esav could understand what the chevra that he had to do with, all right, but how could God kill a man like Abraham? This is justice. And he says, "And what are you telling me? He's going to such a wonderful place and so much reward. No." He says, "I can't accept it." You hear that a lot of times. If such an injustice can happen, that means there's no God. Finished. This is what Esav said. And he said, "Le matn schar v'le tchiyas ha-meisim." I don't believe anymore in reward, because if there's reward, then this man should not have died. And I don't believe in tchiyas ha-meisim, that the dead will live again. I don't believe in the world to come. And I don't believe in your God. Ruach HaKodesh Tzavcho. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, "Al tifku lemeis, bochei sifku Do not weep for the dead, weep for the living. It says, it's referring to Abraham and Esav. Don't weep for Abraham, weep for Esav, because Abraham will have a great world to come, Esav will have nothing. Incidentally, why did Abraham die on that day? It states that Abraham really had 5 years of his life cut off, because Yitzchak lived to 180 and Abraham lived 5 years less than his son, to 175. But he had 5 years of his life cut off, because it was on this day that Esav went and committed very serious averus. It says that day, this is why he was fatigued. He was involved in killing someone, and he was involved in stealing someone's bride, and so forth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that Abraham would leave this world a happy man, b'seva tova, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not bear that Abraham should see this. Therefore, he caused Abraham's death 5 years earlier, in order that he shouldn't see what happens to Esav, his grandson. That's why it states, "Kitev chasodecho mechayim in Tehillim." That sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed is even more precious than life. He took 5 years away from Abraham's life to do chesed to him, that he shouldn't see what happens to his grandson. But at any rate, from this, Esav became an unbeliever. And the Midrash says later on, he said, when he asked Yaakov, he says, "I need something to eat. Give me that porridge." So he said, "All right, but give me your firstborn birthright." Yaakov said, "The firstborn birthright, this gives a person a schus, the merit to serve." He was the firstborn before the golden calf. When this schus was given to the Kohanim, the firstborn of every family was the Kohen. Every family had what was known as a Kohen, and that was the oldest. So he had the right to serve Hashem first. He had the right to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and so forth. So Yaakov said, "I can't let this person be the firstborn, have the birthright, this Rosha." So he says, "I'll tell you what, give me that and I'll give you the porridge." So Esav said, "What is this chus? What is this bechera?" So he explained it to him. And Esav said, "What will I get from it?" He says, "What do you mean what you'll get from it? You'll get mitzvahs from it. You'll get reward in the next world from it." So Esav said, he said, "Loma zeli, loma zeli. What do I need this?" The Medrash says he was referring to Zeh Keli Vanvehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called Zeh. What do I need him for? Honechi heilech lomus. I am going to die. Yes, but so what if you'll die? You'll die in this world, but not in the next world. Now, Esav said, "This is the world. And if that cannot help me in this world, then what do I need it for? Don't talk to me about the next world. Don't talk to me about Zeh, about Hashem, and don't talk to me about reward. Or Tchias HaMesim." Mikan, so from here, Esav was kofar. Esav denied the whole next world. So he said, "Therefore, give me the porridge that will give me life in this world, and you can have the rest that will give you the life in the next world." Here became the division. Here they made a deal. "All right, this world is yours," Yaakov said. And anything that I have in this world, I give to you. The next world is mine. And your rights in the next world, you give to me. Esav said, yes. Vayishova. He says, swear to me. He says, we can't make such a deal and talk alone. He took the oath, and that was the division. No longer did they fight over both worlds. And Esav was to emerge as the Baal Elam Hazeh, the greatest force in this world, and Yaakov was to emerge as the greater force, the greatest force of the spiritual world of the next world. What we also understand with this is it states that Esav was known as Edom. And his empire became known as Edom. Edom means red. The Torah tells us, the Torah states that he said, give me from the red porridge that you have. It says, Alkein Krosh my Edom. Therefore they called his name Edom. Because it was red porridge, so therefore the name of his empire became red. No. Red signifies the physical world. The Chazal say why? Because the sun is red. And the greatest physical force on this world is the sun. The whole physical world nurtures itself from the sun. So red signifies this world. And the selling of the porridge signified the trading of worlds. Now, from what we've just said, we can understand why Esav ended up with the Bigdei Chabudais, the precious garments of Odom HaRishon. Odom HaRishon, the first man, he was given a spirit and he was given a body. The Bigdei Chabudais, the precious clothing that was to cover his body. Esav inherited the physical world, in other words, everything that was physical from the first man. Therefore, he inherited these clothing, these Bigdei Chabudais, this clothing. The other end it states, goes back to the time of Noah yet, that Noah had a son who was called Shem, a very righteous son. And Shem fulfilled a great mitzvah in regards to Noach. And it says that the seed of Shem in the honor of this mitzvah was given the talis shel mitzvah. They were given the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, this was the seed of Shem, but the seed of Shem was massive. Many nations came from Shem. So the Gemara says this eventually went to Yisrael through the schus of Abraham, through a mitzvah which Abraham did. So we see Yaakov ended up with the talis of mitzvah. The talis of mitzvah is not merely to cover the body, because for that you don't need a talis of mitzvah. You can have a talis which is not of a mitzvah. The talis of mitzvah is a garment for the soul, because mitzvahs adorn the soul. So Esav inherited the physical clothing of man, of the first man. Yaakov inherited his spiritual clothing. It's for this reason that the Maral explains that we find that the Goyim, the Gentiles, and especially the seed of Esav, became greater than Israel when it came to serving their parents. Why? Really, Really, we have a paradox when it comes to serving one's parents. Why do we serve a parent? Why do we honor a parent? Because he brought us into this world. The mission in Bar Metzia states, in Perek Eilo Metzias, that your parents bring you into this world, but your rabbi, the one who teaches you Torah, is also a parent to you. He brings you into the next world. Ovi mevi elidei olam hazeh, rabbi mevi elidei olam habo. What does this mean? The Gemara says, it's brought in a number of places, it's brought in Kiddushin, Gimel Shutfin Ba'olam. Your parents didn't bring you in this world alone. It says there's a father and mother and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They brought you into this world. It states that everything that's physical, your father and mother give you. Everything that's spiritual, Hashem gives you. Your father and mother nourish you physically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Torah nourishes you spiritually. The Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, Rabbi, the one who teaches you Torah, he's acting as the emissary for Hashem. He is nourishing you spiritually. So there's a paradox here. How can one look at his father and mother that they brought me into this world, and we're cutting our Kodesh Baruch Hu out of the picture? Kodesh Baruch Hu also brought us into the world. So the answer is, there's a we have to minimize the totality that a father has created a son to make place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what shutfim are. What's a partnership? A partnership means that there's a minimization of total ownership. You own something, you're the sole owner. You take a partner, you're not the sole owner anymore. There's a minimization. There's an invasion into their total ownership. And this is the truth. Can't look at a father and mother that they brought us into the world. And what about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, Gimel Shutfim, it's a partnership, it's not a sole ownership. Now, to a Yisrael who sees this reality, and not only does he see this reality, but where is the main world of a Jew? The main world of a Jew is the next world. This world is merely passing through. This world maybe will be for 70 years, 80 years, or 120 years, but the next world is endless. And the next world is a non-physical world. That's the world of a spirit and a soul. So he sees as the great partner is Hashem. He was assisted by Ovi V'Imai, a father and a mother. The fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to strengthen. It states, he said, Kabed, honor your father and mother. And he used the same word when he said, honor, you shall honor me, Hishver. He says, be careful. Don't minimize your father and mother. I'm telling you, the same honor to give me, you must give them. He had to strengthen this, because the nature of the Jew is, look, they're very important, but they're not as important as you are. So this is how a Jew looks at it. But let's look at it from the viewpoint of Esav. You're going to tell Esav and his seed, there are three partners that brought you into the world, and the main partner is the Almighty. He says, Lama Zeli, what do I need him for? For the next world? There is no next world. I'm interested in this world. And who brought me into this world? My father, mother, finished. By Esav, this world is the whole world. And therefore, a father figure or a mother figure becomes their whole world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, there's very little existence for him. So therefore, when it comes to honoring a parent, Esav was able to excel far more than Yaakov. The parent had no competition in Esav's eyes. And he came to enormous heights in this. And the same with his seed, the Romans to follow him. This is why Yitzchok ohev es Esav. Yitzchok loved Esav kitzayid v'fiv, because the honor he received from Esav was never ending, was enormous. And it created this attachment. He was able to do this because of negative reasons, but it was admirable. And that's why the Gemara says, you want to learn how one should honor his father and mother, don't go look at a Jew, go look at a Roman. And it brings the story from Dima ben Esino. And that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel said. He says, nobody ever honored their parents like I did, but Esav 100 times more did. When he came to his father, it's interesting, because when we serve our parents, we don't dress up. But when we go to shul and daven Shema in Esrei, we dress up. By Esav, he says, coming to my father, I have to put on royal garments. So therefore the sages say, go, this is where you learn how one should honor his parents. Now it's interesting, because when it says that Rivka loved Yaakov, it didn't say Rivka loved Yaakov because Yaakov would serve her. It says Yitzchok loved Esav for what Esav did for him. But when it says Rivka loved Yaakov, it says stop. Rivka ever says Yaakov. Does not give a reason. Yitzchok as Esav kitzayid v'fiv. Yitzchok loved Esav. Yitzchok loved Esav for what he did for him. This is what we were speaking about. But Rivka loved Yaakov. Gives no reason. In other words, Rivka's love for Yaakov was not because Yaakov, what Yaakov was doing for her all of the time. Now the Medrash says, what made Rivka love Yaakov? So the Medrash says as follows. This is in Tesvov, Samach Gimel Tesvov. Kol shehayisa shumas kolo hayim esefes le'ava al avosoi. The more she would hear his voice, the more she would love him. She loved him for his voice. What do you mean she loved him for his voice? He wasn't known as the great Chazonim. Later on it states that when he came to his father and he felt his arms, he says, Yudaim Yidei Esav, the hands of Esav. But Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. And the Medrash darshans, what is the voice of Yaakov? Besides that it was such a kind voice and a good voice, and he spoke, it says he spoke with such gentleness. It says his voice his power, Esau's power is in his hands. It's this world. Yaakov's power is in the kol Torah and the kol Tefillah, in the voice of Torah and the voice of Tefillah. So Rivka loved Yaakov because whenever she would hear his voice, she would love him even more. She saw the Torah in him. It wasn't because of what Yaakov was doing for her. Yitzchak loved Esav, Kitzai the thief, because the way Esav had served him, that created that attachment. One further point. The Gemara brings in Baba Tzia in Daf Pei Zayin it states until Abraham lo haya zikno, we never found anyone who looked old. That started with Abraham. We spoke about this, I believe this was last week. Until Yitzchok, we never found anyone who suffered. Yitzchok was the first one that it says that he became blind. Now, on Yaakov it says, until Yaakov lehava chulsho, we never found a weakness or sickness in the world. Also Yaakov bayerachme vava chulsho. When Yaakov came into the world, he asked for rachamim. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there should be a weakness and sickness in the world. And we find Vayemele Yesif hinei avicha chayla, that later on, when Yaakov was old, so Yosef, they went and they told Yosef, your father has taken sick. So immediately he went there, and he took his children there and so forth, and they all came there in order that Yaakov could give brachas to all of the children. And this is what Rashi says. Rashi says it's important for a person to get sick, because before this time, when a person would die, he would just drop. He never had any notice. This way a person gets sick, so he has notice that he's going to leave this world. He can come and instruct his children and give them brachas and so forth. The Maral brings that this, the Gemara doesn't say the reason. Rashi brings it, and this reason that Rashi brings is in the Medrash. But the Gemara doesn't say any reason. Why doesn't the Gemara say any reason? He says because there is certainly truth in the reason which is brought in the Medrash, but because there are additional reasons also. And he says something very deep. He says, Yaakov was the first one that we find that there was a constant weakness. What does it mean, a constant weakness? He was a nirdof. He was someone who was always fleeing. Here in this Seder, at the end of the Seder, he had to run away from Esav. Later on, he comes to the house of Lavan. Yet they want to run away from it, love him. He was constantly having problems. He said, Miyomai, from my youth I never rested, but I always was dealing with problems. Tzoras Esav, Tzoras Lavan, Tzoras Rachel. Rachel died on the derech. Tzoras Dina. Dina was abducted. Tzoras Yosef. Yosef was abducted. Tzoras Shimon. They went and abducted Shimon. Tzoras Binyamin, and so forth and so on. So we see this is a midah. This is a quality in Yaakov. Yaakov was a person. By Yetze Yaakov. He was on the run. And people were always giving him tzoras. And this is what it means. Until Yaakov, we don't find this. Now, why? So he says, the Maral says, this is an attribute. This is a strong point. How can this be a strong point? Because when a person is very strongly entrenched in a place and he's on top of it, this shows Zemakeme, this is his place. When you look at these strong nations, they were immovable. They had their land, they had their fortresses, they had their castles, they were immovable. They were impregnable. What did this show? Dominance. This showed this was their place. When someone is constantly being pushed around, this shows the lack of dominance. This is not his place. We find, lahavdil, amongst animals, animals always fight for territory. They fight for, and they fight, states on the wild animals. The game rangers will tell you how they go and they mark off their territory. And they fight for it. They fight for dominance in the herd. Who's going to rule? Memshola. There's a medrash which states, Apostle Kin Keheles, Elekim Mavakesh Esanirdov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the side of the one who is being pushed around, who is fleeing. Now, the popular thought is that Hashem is with the underdog. But no, the Medrash explains. It says, amongst all of the animals, who are the Nidofin? Who are the animals which have to flee all of the time? It says the greatest Nidofin is the cattle, the sheep, the goats. Who are the strong ones? Dari, the lion, the zev, the wolf, the dove, the bear, the leopard. When it comes to the birds, who are the dominant ones? The eagle and the hawk. Who are the least of the dominant ones? The taurin and the bnei yaina, the dove. Yet we find that when it came for a sacrifice on the mizbeach, on the altar, Lo hichshiran akosuv, ella hashor hachon. Kodesh Baruch Hu would only accept. He wouldn't accept any lions or any wolves. He only would accept the cattle, the sheep and the goats, the doves and the turtle doves. And then it states, "Ein nirdofin b'chol ha'umos k'ma Yisrael." Israel, when it comes to the nation that's being pushed around, look at the dominance we have over our land. We can never come close to our land without all of the nations jumping in and trying to drive us out. You don't find that in China. You don't find that in India. You don't find that in Norway. All right, occasionally they have to defend themselves. But by Eretz Yisrael, continual war. And this is the history. Ein nirdofin mikol ha'umos. There is no nation in the world that becomes such a nirdof, a nation which lacks dominance as Yisrael. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen it. So Maral says, what does this show? When a nation has dominance, it shows this is their place. It's very hard to unearth, to dislodge a person from his real place. Try to drive the Chinaman out of China. Not an easy job. When a nation doesn't have dominance, that's a sign that's not really their place. And when Klal Yisrael has to go from one country to another country to another country to another country, this shows this is not their place. This is not their world. Their world is a higher world, not this world. This is Aesop's world. And the Roman Empire spread all over the world. And even amongst the animals, this is the lion's territory. This is the wolf's territory, and this is the leopard's territory. But the cow, he has no territory. He stays until someone drives him some other place. And the same thing with the sheep and the goat and the dove. And this shows, the Maharal says, that they have in them a degree of spirituality. A degree which lacks earthliness. And therefore, Hikshiran Eitzalam Isbeah, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them for sacrifices in his Beis HaMikdash. That's what's meant, that Yaakov brought Chushul to the world. Yaakov was the one that brought weakness to the world, because Yaakov was the one who made the division with Esav. Here, I give you my share in this world. You give me your share in the next world. Take the porridge. Give me the birthright. And from that time on, dominance went to Esav. Yaakov had the weakness. So this explains to us the questions that we asked. Why is it that we see Yitzchok's attachment to Esav was because of the great honor and serving that Esav was doing for him all of the time? And Esav would serve him with such dedication, and with his bigdei chamudais, with the royal garments, and in general his whole seed. And this is what misled Yitzchok, because being that he was the firstborn, and the brachas were supposed to go to the firstborn, actually later on when he went and he gave the bracha to Yaakov by mistake, and then Esav came and said, Pamayim, twice he has deceived me. And Yitzchok asked Esav, what do you mean twice? He said, he stole my birthright, now he stole my brachas. He said, Gam Baruch Yia. I didn't know he stole your birthright. I didn't know you sold it to him. Now that I know that you sold it to him, I don't feel so bad. Because I was afraid, that's what the Medrash brings in Tanchum, I was afraid, of Arti Ashura Sardin, I did wrong, I gave the brachas to the one who was not the firstborn. So this gives us some explanation in this Parsha, which from here molded the history of the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.